I would like to read the words of the Lord Jesus that are found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And then in chapter 12, the words of the Lord Jesus, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Lord Jesus is referring here to the importance of repentance. And also in his words, we find that the people who are exposed to the truth of God are far more responsible than those who have not been exposed. For instance, where he did his mighty works when he was here on earth, in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, where they saw what he did, heard what he said, and yet they did not repent, they are going to be more responsible and have more punishment in the eternal judgment than Tyre and Sidon, and also Sodom itself. Tyre and Sidon were commercial cities. They were cities that were very influential. They were cities, however, which left God out of their thoughts, and they were destroyed. They did not have the privilege that Chorazin and Bethsaida had. Also, Sodom in its day was noted for its licentiousness, for its immorality. But they did not have a testimony to them, like Capernaum had. Dear friend, this only emphasizes for us this fact, that you and I who are living in this so-called Christian nation, when we are exposed to the truth of the gospel, where we have the word of God given to us, we can read it, we can hear it, we have heard it, and yet if we do not repent, we shall be judged with a more severe judgment than those who had not the responsible place that we had had. Think of it. The Lord Jesus would draw our attention today, I feel, to the necessity of repentance. He mentions the city of Nineveh in Jonah's day. It was a city of great wickedness. It was a city of great population. Jonah was sent, of course, to minister to it. We know his story. He refused to go, but finally, after learning the lesson in the belly of the fish, he did go to Nineveh. He did obey the voice of the Lord, and he began to go into this city, a city of 3 days' journey length, estimated about 60 miles across. And as he began to enter, he simply said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people saw that it was the prophet Jonah and realized that what they heard was God speaking through the prophet. What did they do? Did they doubt the word? No. They believed God. Have you ever believed God? Do you believe that there's coming a day, dear friend, when God is going to judge this world in righteousness? Prepare to meet thy God. It's the message that God would send out. Repent. The people of Nineveh repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes, from the greatest of them even to the least. The king himself laid aside his robe, and he sat in ashes. And he made a decree that every one in the kingdom should repent. The message that Jonah conveyed was received as the message from God. They said, "Who can tell if God will turn away his fierce anger that we perish not?" And God saw the reality, the genuineness of their repentance, and he did not suffer the judgment to come upon them. This is recorded for your learning, for your blessing, for my learning, and for my blessing. Have you repented? You say, what does it mean to repent? Well, repentance is a change of mind Godward that leads to the judgment of our own selves and of what we've done. Repentance is the necessary precursor of any man's experience of grace. God wants to show grace, as he did to the men of Nineveh. But he can only show grace if there has been repentance. Now, this is consistent with the whole teaching of the Word of God. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, for instance, where we read the Lord Jesus coming into the scene in ministry, he comes preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, Mark chapter 1, verse 15 now, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The blessed Son of God began his earthly ministry telling people to repent, to change their minds, their attitudes about God, to accept what God says about them, to judge themselves in his presence, and then, of course, to believe the gospel. In the 13th chapter of Luke's gospel, again we have the words of the Lord Jesus at the time when there were some tragedies that happened. There were those who suffered violence at the hand of Pilate. And Jesus said, "Do you suppose that these who suffered violence, these Galileans, were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered these things?" Notice what he says, "Nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then he refers to a tragedy that occurred, an accident that happened. There were 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell. And he said, "Do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwell at Jerusalem?" Notice what he says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." God is no respecter of persons. And, dear friend, there is absolutely no alternative. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." These are the words that come from the Lord Jesus Christ, the gentle, mild man of Galilee. He is the Son of God. He desires your blessing. And again I say, you can see why he urges us. He can only show his blessing of grace to those who repent. Let's listen to what the apostles tell us. In Acts chapter 3, for instance, Peter is preaching, and he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Here we see that repentance is indeed the precursor of man's blessing. If man is to be converted, he must repent. He must judge himself. He must accept what God says against him. God says, "You have sinned." A man says, "I accept that verdict. I acknowledge to God that I have sinned. I'm wrong. What I've done has been wrong." That's repentance. It's a change of mind. But also, true repentance is coupled with faith. To be converted means to be turned to God in faith, to believe the gospel. Let us listen to Paul in Acts chapter 17. He says, "The times of ignorance God winked at." Yes, God overlooked man's ignorance. But you know, dear friend, the whole revelation of God's truth has come out to us in the person of Christ and in the finished work of Calvary. The Savior has died. The question of sin has been settled to the glory of God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And now God is offering salvation to all men. But you notice what he says. He now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead is a witness, the assurance of the fact that God is going to judge this world. Make no mistake about it, dear friend. The day has been appointed, and that appointment is drawing near. Everything points to it. God now commands us everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent. Have you repented? Will you not consider the necessity of it? Will you not hear this is a voice of God coming to you, that God commands you to repent? It's a command of God. Why? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be saved from the judgment to come. There is no escape from his judgment unless you repent. And judgment is coming because there is a living Savior at God's right hand, willing to save you now. But the day of his grace is coming to an end. His patience will no longer exist. And he will shower forth his judgment on those who have not repented. In the 20th chapter of Acts, we also notice in the ministry of the Apostle Paul that when he went around preaching, he testified both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. It makes no difference who you are, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're a Protestant, so to speak, or a Catholic, so to speak, whether you are a Mohammedan, no matter what you may be. The message of God's salvation, of the gospel to you, to all men, Jew or Greek, is this: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one God with whom you and I have to do. How good to know that he wants to do with us in grace. We have sinned, however, against him. All have sinned and come short of his glory. That's why God calls us to repentance. And we also have a nature that is an enmity against God. It has wrong thoughts about God. It does not want to please God. God would awaken us, arouse us to our condition as how he sees us. Judgment has already been pronounced against us. We are condemned already. He now calls us to repent, to change our mind as to our thoughts about God, and to judge ourselves with sorrow in his presence that we have sinned against him. Repentance toward God. But that is not all. The Apostle Paul preached, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. True repentance will be coupled with faith. Repentance is the backside of faith, shall we say. It's that on which we turn our backs upon ourselves, and then in doing that, we turn our face to God. And when you turn your face to God in Jesus Christ, what do you see? You see that in Christ, God's beloved Son, the one who has come here into the world to die for you and for your sins. We see the cross of Calvary here, the reason for the cross, the Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world. And at Calvary, where he was crucified, this is the work that he accomplished, to settle the question of sin, to satisfy God about your sins, and to make a provision for the whole world that their sins might be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the alone Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You must be converted. How? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God would bring you to repentance. He would also direct your attention to the Savior. We noticed in Acts 17 that the reason for repentance is that God is going to judge this world, and I believe that he uses the subject of coming judgment to arouse men to their need, and I trust that he will do that to you. Judgment is coming. Can you not see it? Will you not believe what God says in his word? Are you blind to what is going on? What's happening in the world? The world, dear friend, is hastening to judgment. God has appointed the day in which he will judge this world in righteousness but he wants you to be saved from it. He wants you to be converted. How? He would bring you to repentance, to judge yourself, to change your mind about him, to be brought to confession, that you might say, I have sinned. Will not you let the judgment of God, will you not let the thought, the truth of the judgment of God turn you to him, dear friend? Oh, you will fall beneath it unless you're sheltered by the blood of Christ. But there's another reason for repentance. God is good to you. Will you not see, do you not acknowledge that you really owe everything to him? You know, he sends his Son upon the just and the unjust, his rain upon the just and the unjust. He's no respecter of persons. He is not willing that any should perish. We read in Romans 2 that it is the goodness of God which leadeth men to repentance. And if you will only stop and think for a moment how good God is to you, would you not turn to him? You don't deserve one bit of his goodness. But he's good to all. He's good to you. And he would have his goodness bring you to repentance. Will you not then, in his presence, see yourself as he sees you? Will you not own before him right now where you are, Lord, I have sinned? And remember this, the one who says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, is the man who's repenting. Will you not pray that prayer right now? He will hear you if you pray it in simple faith, and you will tell him simply in the words of the blind man, Lord, I believe. You'll be saved and saved eternally. You will not come into judgment. You will that moment, the moment that you trust in Christ, you will receive forgiveness of your sins. You will be made a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You will receive eternal life and shall never perish. Dear friend, will you not repent and believe the gospel? God grant that you will. I pray to this end. You'll consider these things. Read the scriptures. You've heard the gospel. You're responsible. Oh, heed the warning that Jesus gave to Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum in his day. Heed the warning that he gives concerning the city of Nineveh. God grant that today you will repent toward God and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word.